for it later today. We welcome you. If you're the first time here with us, you know, there's a card in front of you. Make sure you fill it out and put your name on it and your email, your phone number. We'll follow up with you. And if you have a need, you know, also put it in there so we can pray for you. I'm going to go real quick through some announcements. You all have the bulletin. First, we're going to have the 12th. We're going to have the seniors group is going to be meeting on the 12th at, I believe, at 10 a.m. So if you're a senior or you feel like a senior today, you know, you're welcome to come. I kind of felt like that this morning when I woke up, but I'm feeling better now. George Maloof is in charge of that, but you can also call the office, and we'll guide you, give you any more details. Also, the second Saturday of the month, which is next Saturday, is the homeless ministry. Please see Susan Wilson or John Southard. We also have a women's Bible study coming up on the 28th. You know, be here at 10:30. They make it a little later, but I heard it's a lot of good eats. So just make sure you come over here and share with the other ladies. It is a great group. My wife goes back home very happy when she comes here. She goes very tired too, but you know, it is a wonderful group. And the men's do meet also. It's earlier in the month. We already had the June men's meeting. So we encourage you to attend to those extracurricular activities because we get blessed by it. You're also going to have, you see an insert on your bulletin, and this is a vacation Bible school. So if you have any kiddos, elementary school age, we're going to be here July 30th through August 3rd. This is, you know, we transform the church. This year the theme is Rome. I don't know if you were here last year and a couple of years ago, where, you know, we made a cave out of the church. We made a city out of the church. I mean, we just go all the way out. This is a good time to invite your friends, your kids' friends, so they can hear the Word of God for the first time most of the time when they come here. This is just a great outreach opportunity. And at the same time, they have a lot of fun with that, too. And the adults have fun, too. We just enjoy seeing the kids having so much fun and listening to the Word of God. So there's going to be a meeting right after this service. We're looking for volunteers. There's going to be a meeting between the two services, which is at, we finish, what, 10:15? At 10:15 is going to be in one of the rooms over there at the entrance. So see Lisa Genner. And also, you can go to our homepage, our webpage, and thank Siobhan for working on that diligently. We have a link there where you can actually register your kids there. So we're making everything kind of automated. It's pretty cool. And we hope to see you guys and bring your kids, your neighbors. I think I have everything covered. Also, do not miss the upcoming series that Pastor Rob is going to be talking about. Is Believe and Live, which he's going to be talking about Jesus' promises and the Holy Spirit. This is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to that. So thank you very much for being with us today. And Pastor Robbie, I'm going to leave you with the mic.
Lewis. I'm going to invite the ushers to come on. We'll take up our offering this morning. Before we do, I do want to formally introduce you to Mitch and Allie Correa. They're visiting this weekend. They drove from Connecticut. Right? Down 95. They're driving back today. I think Mitch has to be at work tomorrow, so so hurry up and get back. But they're visiting here, and they're seeking God's will for what's next in their life. We're praying for them, and excited to see God open doors for them. I've had a long relationship with Allie. She was in our ministry in Lakeland and started way back in Kids Church and came through and had the privilege to join those two in matrimony a couple of weeks ago. They've been married a couple of weeks. So they don't know the real deal yet. You know, they're still smiling at each other and loving each other and all that stuff. But we're excited they're here, and they're going to do a special for us in a moment. But I am going to just pray over the offering this morning and just encourage you to be faithful this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity once again just to be here. And you've poured out a blessing in our life, God, and we honor you and we thank you for it. God, have your way in this service, we pray. In Jesus' name.
It all revolves around your throne. Who can know your glory? So high above, yet slain for us. God of every moment, forever crowned, exalted now. You alone are holy, and the praise is yours, and the praise is yours.
Following singing like that. I just don't, you know what I mean? It's good stuff. Thank you, Mitch and Allie, so much for being with us today. I just want to just let you know real fast that you can give online now. Cometolife.tv. If you go on the website, a lot of our stuff you're going to be seeing in the website now. You can catch all the messages on the website now. There's a way to text and give on the website. So we're going to open our website up and put it before you so you'll have that option. If you miss a Sunday or you want to hear a message again, feel free to catch it on the website starting this week, okay? I'm going to talk to you this morning about, like Lewis said, I was going to start a series on the Holy Spirit. And if there's one topic that has been stretched, abused, confused, neglected, it's the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. And last week, this is a great time to start the series because last week we had water baptism. And for all of you who got water baptized, congratulations. And we believe in the immersion, and we had the pool set up outside and people were baptized. But we don't want to leave it there. We believe in the saving grace, the salvation of God, and then when we move into water baptism as an ordinance of the church, not necessary to enter heaven, contrary to what some denominations may believe, we know that you don't have to be water baptized. It's just a public symbol that God has changed my life. I've been washed clean through Jesus Christ. Then, though, Jesus said himself, when talking about John the Baptist, he said, "One will come after me that will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit." Everybody heard that verse before? We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning, and we're going to talk about it for 6 weeks. And I'm going to be on a teaching series on Wednesday nights, the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want you to be confused. People get confused about all this stuff, and I want to make it real simple, real plain. It's not that complicated. We're going to work through the Word of God. Today we're going to be in John chapter 15, John chapter 14 and 15, verse number 12. Through 18. I'll read it first and then we'll work through this stuff. Jesus, this is actually one of the longest messages that Jesus is recorded in teaching. He was dealing with disciples, he was dealing with Jews, and he's dealing with a subject that I believe the church is still dealing with today, necessary for the Holy Spirit to enter our life. And today my prayer for you is that you catch this. He's talking about believing. What do you believe? And I'm going to say, I would ask you this question. Not what do you believe about God is a question that a lot of people have, but I would say, what do you believe about yourself? Because I know this, how you view God is a direct impact on how we view ourselves. Some people only have a view of themselves. They have no view of God, and I understand that, and through circumstances in life and through things we go through or just never really grasping that concept that we have a horrible belief system. God calls us to be a believer in Him. Most assuredly, verse 12, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than this will he do. Now that is a huge statement for the church. Jesus himself said, if you believe in me, now this will blow your mind a little bit. He said, if you believe in me, not only will you see what I do, but you'll do greater things than I did. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask, verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask, he says it again, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is where people get confused. Who is this for, though? What did he say very first? You must first what? Believe. If you don't believe, you don't get anything you ask for. You with me? It's like the old picture of the drunk man laying over the toilet. God, if you help me now, I'll promise you I'll never drink again. You know that old saying, right? How many of you have been there before? Don't even raise your hand right now. That's usually the second service around here because I know how those people are. But seriously, it's like, everybody in here has found themselves in a jam in life where we've cried out to God. But I'm going to tell you, unless we believe, there is no way God's going to answer what we cry out for. And today, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want to help you with what you believe. Verse 15, Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why can't the world receive the Holy Spirit? Why can't the world receive the helper? Because they don't believe. Because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now let me stop right here for just a moment and tell you this statement right here. Let me just give you a little teaching. This statement right here is basically what separates Christianity from any other religion on earth. Because what Jesus says now is, I'm going to send somebody that not only will be with you, but he will be in you. Our God dwells where? In us. A lot of times people think God dwells in this building. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says he dwells in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That thought reigns through the New Testament for those of you that have studied it and understand it. And then listen to what he says. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What do you and I believe? If there's one thing I can assure you this morning, that the enemy of our souls, the enemy of our minds, that he has one thing in mind for us, and that is to get us to stop believing that God can do something for us. And it can come so many different ways. The enemy would have us believe that God does not care. How many of you ever in thought life before have thought, you know, maybe I can't have this God thing because I've made too many mistakes in my life? Right? Or whatever the excuse is. And we'll start to believe things about ourselves and about God that'll keep us separate from God. But he said, if you believe, and this is the thing, people think if they act right, they're close to God. If they give money to the church, they're close to God. I'm here to tell you, if you believe, the Bible says you've been made right. The Bible says this, that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. James 2:23. He believed, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. The Bible does not say that our works equal righteousness. The Bible says our works is as of what? Filthy rags. They mean nothing to God. What we must have first is belief that God is who he says he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And if I know one thing for sure, of the people I've dealt with, my own self included, the enemy wants me not to believe that God is for me. The enemy, and I'm going to tell you what, people in my life, people in my family, people back home where I came from, people sitting in this room today have been dealt some hard blows in life, and I totally understand that. And sometimes the enemy would use those hard blows against us to make us think that God has punished us or he's not for us. See, the true test of faith is not when everything's right, do you believe? I don't need somebody to tell me to believe when everything's good in my life. Anybody with me? I don't need you to tell me how to dance when I win, if you know what I'm saying. But what I do need is somebody to help me with my belief when everything's not right in my life. When everything don't make sense to me, I need someone to ensure to me that, yes, I can still believe God, and God is still for me, even though I don't feel like it. That's why it was recorded that it is without faith, it is impossible to please God. See, some of us are at a place in our life, we're going to have to believe God, I would say all of us, because of faith. I have to have faith because everything in my life says God's against me. Anybody with me? And let me tell you, if you live as a believer long enough, you'll understand God is for you, and sometimes it's not always pretty. Things don't always go the way I want them to. Does anybody have it like that? Because I'll let you have the mic today and tell us, how in the world does that happen? Because I don't get it. But he says, if you believe, and this is what I want to build the foundation of this series on, is this is for someone who believes. And I'm going to tell you, I've witnessed this through my own ministry and working in the church, and people will come and the Holy Spirit, and they'll have this Holy Spirit moment, and they're dancing around and hollering and screaming and carrying on, and I don't even know if they really believe. And we're going to see this morning, there's a way you'll know if you believe or not, and there's also a way you'll know if somebody around you claims to be a believer. He says, the Spirit of truth. Let me back up to verse 16. I like this part. He said, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. Somebody say help. How many of you have ever been in a crisis in your life and you've looked back, you've been in a crisis and you didn't even know who you were speaking to and you said, help. Let me tell you who needs help. These are the people on my list. If you're married, you need help. If you have children, you need help. And the third one, I'll just throw it in there for fun, is if you're breathing, you need help. And see, the thing is, God said everybody's going to need help on this journey called life. You're going to need help, and I've promised you something. Do you want to receive it? See, people get confused, especially in our society, the American Christian view. We've equated God to something like Santa Claus who just gives us stuff. The promise from God was, the first thing I'm going to give you is the helper, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of you. Why is that more important than things of the world? I'm going to tell you why. Because if you've lived long enough, you go through enough stuff, man, you'll get beat down in this life. But God said, I'll put something in you that is greater than anything of this world. He promised the believer the Holy Spirit. The believer, the Holy Spirit. My question to you this morning is, what do you believe? And I will guarantee you, with just this amount of people sitting in a room, there's people struggling this morning with what they believe. Why? Because life has hit you like a ton of bricks. Life has been good. Life has been bad. There's been days I've had plenty. There's been days I've had little. As we've journeyed on this life, we've gone through mountains and valleys. And the end of the day, I either trust and know God through faith, or I'll allow my situations and circumstances to dictate how I view God. And that is where most people find themselves. Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, I don't care if I'm on the mountain or if I'm in the valley. I know God is still God. How many of you have been in a valley? How many of you have been on top of the mountain? If you're on a mountain today, don't dance too much because you don't live there. And if you're in the valley, let me tell you, don't be too hard on yourself because there is a mountain you'll come up. It is a seasonal journey that we must look at ourselves and say, if there's one thing that I have to do more than anything is I have to believe God is real. I have to believe God is able. That is the core of our journey. It's the core of having His Spirit. See, the Pentecostal church is, we've put this huge emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about that through this series, but today we're talking about the initial promise of God, the Holy Spirit, that produces the fruit in our life. And this is what Jesus tells them. In verse 18, he says, I did not leave you as an orphan. How many of you ever felt like an orphan? Now, I'm not talking about literally an orphan. I will in a minute. But I'm talking about, this is how you know if you've been there, and I'm sure you have. You make this statement, I feel like I'm all alone. And I'm in a room full of people or a house full of family. But I feel like no one understands. I'm going through this thing internally, and I'm by myself, and there seems to be no way out. I only do that like once a week, usually on a Thursday, if you know what I'm saying. You know? This is part of what we go through. See, I know a little bit about what an orphan thinks about. And see, an orphan is this. An orphan is someone who has nobody to take care of them and nobody to love them. And here's the thing about an orphan. An orphan only wants two things, for you to love me and you to take care of me. And here's the thing about an orphan. This is why he says it. An orphan can't repay you. You don't go into a situation picking up an orphan thinking they have something to offer you. That's why Jesus said, that's why he said in James, the pure and undefiled religion is taking care of the widow and orphan. Why is that pure and undefiled? Because you can argue religion all day long, but you can't argue me taking care of somebody who can't take care of themselves. Can't argue that. But Jesus said, I'm not leaving you. He was telling them, he said, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to be gone, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. and he will lead you into all truth. You ever made this statement about a circumstance in your life? Help me. I don't even know what to do. Like I said, if you're married or have kids, you've probably made that statement a few times. Let's just pick on the married people this morning. And I make light of it, but I will say this. It's not light because I know people in this room that are dealing with some serious, serious stuff in their life. And you're looking in the mirror and you say, okay, what do I do? I do not have an answer. Let me tell you what your answer is. You have to get back to the core of what you believe and say, at least I know this. I believe in God and I believe that His Holy Spirit can lead me and guide me through this. Without it, you're an orphan by yourself. No one to help, no one to listen, no one to care. Man, it's a tough place. And by faith, you have to believe it. You have to believe by faith that God can send the help you need in your life. Man, you will spend all of your money, all of your energy, all of your sanity chasing the help that God says, I'll send you for free. Here we go. Let's skip on down to verse 25. This is Jesus trying to explain this whole moment of believing. First, you must believe. He said, first, you must believe. First, you must believe. The Bible says you must believe God is who He says He is. You must believe that. At the core of this Holy Spirit moment, you got to believe God is who He says He is. Then it's accounted unto us as what? Righteous. That's the only thing that makes us right before God is when we say, at least I believe you're real and that you do exist. Like I said, there are people that struggle with that. And I get it. Man, people have been hit between the eyes with some serious stuff in their life, and they're like, if God loves me so much, if God's so real, why did this happen to me? And I'm going to try to help some people with that thought this morning, because God will allow some junk to happen to you. He says in verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Listen to what he says. Peace I leave with you. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Man, let me tell you something. There are people probably in this room today, and I find myself there sometimes, that just would like to have a peaceful life. And for most of you, you've journeyed long enough, and you've invested into things and invested into stuff, and at the end of the day, we've realized, you know what? This stuff didn't quite bring me the happiness that I thought it might. And there is nothing wrong with having things or doing things. I'm just saying there is a peace that comes from God that will comfort you in a way that nothing else can. The problem with this peace is you don't understand it until you're in a crisis. Are you with me? You don't know peace until you've been messed with real good. Who's with me? Like, if I knew peace and God gave it to me, I don't think I would need it. But in the midst of the storm of my life, how many of you in a storm in your life right now? And if you're not today, just wait till Thursday, because one is probably coming soon. Some people in this room, you're fighting the same storm over and over and over. And see, the thing is, this is what we want. This is how we act. God, if you would end it, I would be all right. And that's not how God works. God would say this, I'll let the storm rage in your life until you have peace in the middle of the storm. To prove that this is real. Me taking it from you is not the peace I promised you. It's not what it says. It doesn't say I'll fix everything, then you'll have peace. He said, I'm going to give you peace right now. That no matter what you walk through on this earth, you can survive it. Not just survive it. I'm looking at a room full of survivors. But you can live. And you can really have a smile on your face. when you lay down at night, your bed, your pillow is not full of tears because you're broken. He says, you can have my peace. And he said, the world cannot receive this. Only a believer can receive it. I'm going to tell you something. The peace, the Bible says the peace of God transcends all understanding. And it's offensive to people. It really is. I've been there where there has been a major tragedy and you walk in and everybody's flipping out and freaking out and going nuts and trying to throw hammers at people and do all this crazy stuff. And you just sit back and be like, look, I don't go down like that. And people will look at you and say, well, you just don't care. That's why you sit there and say nothing. You know, it's like, I care more than you think. But I know who lives within me. And the Bible says he that lives in me is greater than he that lives in the... So nothing that comes against me can steal what God has put in you. And if I had one thing to say to you this morning is you might need to check your belief system. And you may have to, by faith, you may have to, by faith, make yourself today say, I am going to believe God's real. Because I cannot keep on like things are going. Anybody ever said that before? If things keep on like they're going, usually it's internally and mentally, and we'll be like, I'm going to break. I used to call it brick. It's called a brick through. I'm either going to have a breakthrough or I'm going to throw a brick through a window. You know what I'm saying? And some of y'all are at the point of breakthrough, I think. But I would say, God would say, listen, I have the answer for you. And let me say this. God would also probably say this. I know it happened in my life, and I'm sure it's happened in yours. You keep walking away from me, and I'm going to turn this thing up on you until you do come to me. Listen to what he says. We're going to skip over to chapter 15. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Remember who he said this was for? Well, who? The believer. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friend. Here's what he says. You are my what? Friend, verse 15. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I've commanded. If you want to be right with God, he said, you do what I command you to do. And what was it? Love one another. Let me tell you something. I love it when people come here and they worship God and people love God and they say all this stuff and I get it. And most people I know that are believers, they have a real good relationship with God. But you want to know where the water gets a little murky? It's how they treat other people. And it's real funny when people are struggling as a believer, and they see us who say, I love God, but how do I love God when I treat my neighbor like whatever? That's why Jesus said, if you're my friend, you love one another. That's it. It was that simple. Let me tell you something. You need the Holy Spirit to love people. I don't know where you live or where you come from. Let me tell you, I was in the Sunrise Walmart yesterday. Was anybody in there? Just want to make sure before I blast somebody, you know what I mean? And I'm telling you, sometimes you need the Holy Spirit just to walk in Walmart. People, they'd be looking at you crazy, saying dumb stuff to you. But he said, if you love people, then you're my friend. Abraham believed, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness, and he was called a... Jesus said, I no longer call you a slave, I call you a friend. Listen to what he says in verse 16. You did not choose me. And this is where a lot of people miss it. You did not choose me. Don't think of yourself so high and mighty that you said, oh, I decided to follow Jesus one day. That is wrong. It did not happen like that. You may think it did, but that's not what the Word of God teaches us. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. You know how many times he says that in these two chapters? Whatever you ask in the Father's name, he'll give you. But it's for the believer. It's for those who love people. I've seen people beg on their knees till they're blue in the face for God to do something, and they don't love nobody. And I ain't going to say it to them. I'm going to say, listen, if you don't love people, God ain't listening to you like that. And that's why we get confused as believers. I'm a believer too, and sometimes my life gets confused. My spiritual walk gets confused, and I have to go back and check myself and say, do I really love people the way I should be? But he says, you did not choose me, I chose you. And this is what I want you to catch this morning. The reason that you're probably going through some of the garbage that you're going through is because now God's drawing you. And listen, here's the thing. Most people think God is like this shepherd-looking guy with this white robe that is standing there petting you like a lamb, saying, I love you so much, I just want you in the fold. I'm going to tell you something. God will let you go through things in your life that will break you down to the core of who you are, till you're laying on the ground like a baby crying and screaming, saying, okay, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. Most of the times, people come to God at the end of a .38 caliber revolver fixing to end it all, and they say, I'm done, and God would intervene and say, hold on. You had enough yet? Are you ready? Because if you come to me and you believe in me, I've got the help you need. I will put something in you that the world can't take from you. I will put something in you that you've been searching for. I will put something in you that you've been trying to fill with things, with people, with stuff. I will put something in you that will lead you and guide you into all truth through the mess that you and I keep walking through. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And Jesus makes this statement in verse 16. He says, I chose you and appointed you. Why? Because you believed. And if there's one thing I could give you advice for this morning, check what you believe. You ever been mad at God? You ever questioned God? You ever had the thing, you just like, you know, I just don't get it. If God is so real, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to my family? Why did my friends have to? If God's so real, why does he let that stuff happen? And that, my friend, is usually the question the enemy uses to get us not to believe God's real. But I say this, the reason why God allowed you to go through that stuff is because he chose you. And he chose your life to be an example through all of your problems, mess, and trials to let your life be an example to the world that God's real. Why? Because not everybody's going through the mess you're going through, but look at the peace you have. Look at the love you still have through all the stuff. That's what he says. He says, go and bear fruit. Verse 16, he said that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit would remain. This is the beginning of receiving the Holy Spirit of God. That our life would bear fruit. I don't need you to help me bear fruit when things are good. Who's with me? I need to know how to bear fruit when I'm in a storm. Paul said this. I'm going to teach you something this morning. You wonder? You can come in here and you can dance and you can sing and you can give. And we encourage you to do all that, especially the giving part, you know. Be nice. And you can carry a Bible and You can say all the religious stuff, and you do all that stuff if you want to, and some people do it, and you can carry you one of them big old Bibles that looks like a two-year-old toddler and haul that thing around so everybody knows that you believe God. But if you don't bear fruit, I'm going to tell you. He said that you would bear fruit. And nothing discourages me more than people that holler, God is so good, and holler God about this, but your life has zero fruit. And he said, this is the fruit that your life will have, Galatians 5:22. I'm going to pull it up. That you would bear fruit. I'm talking about filling this temple with the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're getting there, but if you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit, you have just lost me because it makes no sense. But he said, if you remain in me and you obey my command, which is love thy neighbor. How many of you got a crazy neighbor? Don't look at the person beside you right now. I'm not talking about that neighbor. I'm talking about the people you live with, the people you shop with, the people. Listen, Paul said this. Even sinners love those that love them. I mean, we get that. I don't need help loving somebody that loves me back. I need help loving somebody that I don't like. You with me? If it was so easy, Jesus wouldn't say that's the only thing I want you to do. But he said that you would bear much fruit. And this is it right here. I'm going to get ready to close. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Church, listen to me. If you've ever wondered if somebody's a believer, if you ever, I don't care how many times they jump and shout and do all that stuff. This is what he said. If you want to know if somebody's really what they say they are, do you see this in their life? Love. I'm not talking about, hey, I love you. You know what I'm saying? We'll talk about love later. Love is patient, love is kind, all the stuff, 1 Corinthians 13. I could prove I love you and never open my mouth. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Make this list about yourself. Don't look at me. Long suffering. Man, that's patience. Long. Let me tell you something. Some people, you are going to suffer through some things that God has placed on you that will never change. And yes, it's hard. And not everybody has the answer for it. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, will lead you and guide you through it. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Ready for the next one? Gentleness. And self-control. Self-control. I'm going to give you some advice today, and you may or may not like it. But this is one of the things that my radar goes off when I'm in a situation wondering if somebody really is a believer, and I can usually tell you can too. You want to know what it is? What's coming out of your mouth? One thing I learned in my own Christian journey as a believer, there's one thing I can do to help every situation I get in. It's called keep my mouth open. I do not have to speak to every issue I see. I do not have the answer for everything I'm confronted with. I do not have to say the obvious that everybody sees. Jesus said, if you want a fruit of the Spirit, keep your... And let me ask you this question. You ever met somebody in your life? I'm sure you have. They claim to be all this stuff. They claim I got all this relationship with God, but you don't see any of that stuff in their life. And then you're like, hold on. This don't make sense to me. If that's what it is, I don't want it. That's why we have to be careful, church. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and we're going to go on a 6-week journey of baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, all the stuff. But I'm telling you, it starts right here. That this fertile soil called our heart is ready to receive the Spirit of God. And I want to tell you, yes, it's for you. You can stand to your feet this morning. We're getting ready to close, and I want to encourage you as we get ready to leave. This is for you. for God so loved the world. He loved you enough. I don't know why he put you through what he put you through. I can't answer the questions of why. I just know this. Yes, he does do that. Usually, it's done to us to get us to a place in our life where we say, God, I cannot do this on my own. I need help. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you in this room this morning have been on the receiving end of his help? You can shout if you need to. I get it. You were going to die. You were going to be gone. Whatever. You were going to lose your family. You were going to lose your mind. You were going to lose everything you had. But God stepped in and said, I'm going to help you. And when you know that I've helped you, your life will bear fruit. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. I'm going to get ready to close and I'm going to ask this question. If you need help this morning, I'll raise my hand first. God wants to help you. God's not mad at you. He's not against you. He's not trying to make life hard on you. But what he's saying is, I want you to be humble. You come to me with the attitude of, God, I believe you are who you say you are, and I cannot do this life on my own anymore. And he will show up in your life, and he will help you. Amen? I'm going to pray this morning. I'm going to turn it over to our worship team. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray for those who have a need in their life, and they need you to help them. God, I believe it's everybody in this room this morning. I believe everybody in here needs a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. And God, I believe everybody in here needs a fresh voice to say, you know what, I need to love people the way you've called me to love. I need my life to bear fruit. Lord, send the helper this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
What a wonderful name it is.
Lord, we do thank you this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that no matter how we walk through these doors this morning, we can leave changed. Lord, we thank you today. We give you the honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you today as you go. We'll see you back here Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Have a great day.